know that. Well, it is a joy to be back here with you folks. We had a great time last night. It was very fun. I was a little nervous about 2 o'clock. There were only this lady and her kids out there, and I'm going, oh, this is going to be personal conviction tonight, you know. But more started to gather, and then we had a great crowd and a fun time together. We missed many of you for not being there. I know it's a beautiful day, many places to go and things to do. But we had a wonderful, blessed, fun time together, and thankful again for that opportunity. I just want you to be warned, folks, I'm loaded for bear this morning. I'm all stirred up. I've been reading through the book of Joshua and Judges, and I'm wound up to say the least. And let me tell you why. I am amazed as I read through those books how foolish and very abundantly stupid the people of God truly are. You know, what happened, folks, as far as these situations and over again, these folks, very blessed of God, they made a choice to follow other gods, temporal gods and things that would never bring to that in comparison to what God was looking to bring into their lives. But nonetheless, they followed after them, those, that, and the other. What happened in the midst of that? They forgot how good God is, how He protected, how He provided, how in His perfect love He cared for His people. Then how bad did it get? They forsook God. Folks, how foolish God's people become when they look somewhere other than looking unto their God. And then as I read example of those that did get right, they were very few and far between. Now, why does that sound so familiar to us? Because we're students of the Word of God? Well, I hope so. But it sounds familiar because it's the same song and dance that God's people are doing today. We're looking everywhere than other than unto Jesus. And we're worshiping and following things, folks, that really don't matter and will never bring to our lives in comparison to what God wants to bring into our lives. So we look somewhere else before we know it, folks. We're forgetting the goodness of God and how He's the one that we need to always look unto no matter what's going on. And what's happening today, folks, I'm seeing it over and over again. People are flat out forsaking their God. Folks, how do we get to that point? And folks, don't think you're exempt of this opportunity of choosing. But how does a person who was so obviously abundantly blessed, be blessed of God, get to that point of just, again, not even acknowledging there is a God, let alone serve Him to bring Him honor and glory? Here it is, folks. One unbiblical choice at a time. That's how it happens. That's how, so again, just harmlessly, we approach that mindset and testimony of unfaithfulness when we simply say, God, it doesn't matter what you say. So, folks, attention all Christians. Warnings to take heed to. Listen carefully to the warnings of God as God's Word is set forth here this hour. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me, please, before we go any further into this? And let's ask God to give us understanding and give us enough sense to respond to His working here today. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You, Lord, for this time of challenge and charge from the Word of God. Lord, I already warned Him, I'm stirred up. I'm madder than a hornet of the devil. And I'm so brokenhearted and disappointed with the people of God. Not just in Joshua, not just in the book of Judges, but I'm so disappointed with God's people today. Lord, we're so defiling and so diminishing the testimony and the work of God, and we act like it's really no problem at all. God, it's a big problem because it's sin, and it hurts the cause of Christ. Lord, again, it takes people away from knowing God instead of drawing people unto Jesus so they can know Him, and they in turn can know Him better and serve Him in a God-honoring fashion. Lord, help us again to be attentive to what You have for us this hour, then God help us in a very thankful, tender way, respond to your working here this hour. Now, Lord, there's some new faces here and some that I don't know as well as others. And, Lord, if they're here today and they're in search mode, they're trying to fill the void in their heart. They're trying to figure out how to, again, have that confident personal relationship with God. And, Lord, help them to realize this morning it's only through and by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Lord, Pastor John can't save them, neither can I. But, Lord, you can. And if there's someone here in the need of receiving Jesus as personal Savior, God, I pray you will save their soul today. And, Lord, we'll rejoice in that new life in Christ. Help us believers again, Lord, to just be ready to respond and receive your goodness this hour. And, God, through all that's set forth here, help us to be careful to praise and thank you for your goodness. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm going to give you a very simple outline today as far as this getting stuff working the way it's supposed to. And here's what I think we need today more than any time I've been a part of Christianity. We need what's called an awakening. And if we want to put in simple layman terms, we need a wake-up call. And let me tell you why. Because too many Christians have become unrealistic in their perspective of this world. And kids, maybe this is floating around in your brains. Maybe even some of you adults who have spread this kind of lie that the world is really not that bad. Folks, all you need to do is in an honest fashion, open your eyes to the media. Open your eyes to what's advertised, what's pushed down our throat, and you'll see very quickly this is a place of devil-pleasing, not God-honoring choices. It's dirty, it's defiled, and this world, it hates your God. And have you noticed when a Christian takes a stand for what's right, they hate you also? And folks, you may have the mindset, and I've had people do this to me, when I try to wave the red flag of how bad this world is and it's not your friend, you know what? I get people say, now calm down, Brother Maynard. It's going to be all right. You know, that's not biblical. As the end draws nigh, folks, it's not going to get better and better. No, things will wax worse and worse. And we need to make sure, folks, we understand that. And we stop doing what I see way too many people doing. You know what we're doing? We're living in denial. That again, judgment is not coming. But listen and take heed, folks. Judgment is coming. We need to wake up and get our spiritual acts together, our ducks in a row as such, and stop messing around with the righteous work of Almighty God and choose again to be awakened to the will and working of God like we've never been awakened to the will and working of God. Now, we hear all the time, don't you get tired of this about fake news this and fake news that in the media? Donald Trump has made that very popular. Do you all agree with me? And everybody's jumping on board, whether to complain about it or to agree with it. Folks, you know where I think worse false media is being presented? In our pulpits today. And that's bringing destruction, folks, like we could really never comprehend or even imagine. But I'm telling you, false media is even worse in another place. False media is so abundant and, again, so presented in so-called Christian testimony in the lives of believers. When we start superseding the truths and basic principles of the Word of God with our reasoning, what we feel or think is going on or should take place, that should never matter in comparison to what God says through the blessed, wonderful Word of God. Wake up in the sense there are consequences for sin. And how casually, how again, in almost a flippant way, we treat this warning of God, for sure your sins will find you out. And folks, hear me loud and clear without apology, I present this statement. There is a price and a penalty for sin. And God still hates sin. Here's another wake-up call. God hates worldly Christianity, entertainment Christianity. I am so thankful for the faithfulness of this ministry that you folks know the difference. You're not boogieing for Jesus. Get down, get up again. You're not carnal in your approach to something that's holy, biblically representing our God. But that's not the popular thought. That's not the popular choice of most believers today. They kind of want to blend it together, have their cake and eat it too as such. You know, I just, as long as I give the right Jesus stuff and I can go do my worldly thing. No, 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 no. Take heed to what God says about this world that's around you, that's looking again to take you far from faithfully serving and honoring our God. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, it says, love not the world. Should we park on that for like 3 or 4 weeks? Now, folks, again, appreciate God's creation, but don't love the philosophies, the toys, the things that, again, will steal your heart and rip you off from the glory and goodness found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now listen, this could be you. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now let me park over here for a minute, because I think most younger, tender-hearted substances, not the old guy Todd in the front, but I'm talking about these younger, you know, less wrinkled people over here. Of course, he married a child bride, and she's still as lovely as ever. Am I doing good? Yeah, okay. But you know what? My son was saved as a result of this verse. My son was a guy that made a profession of faith when he was 7. Why? His dad beat him half to death with the Bible. I kind of cornered him, strong-armed him, pray so I can get this off the plate and go win other people to Jesus. Come on, pray with your dad. He didn't mean it any more than a man in the moon. He just prayed the prayer to shut his father up. Then I said, you're not going to a secular college, so I sent him to Bob Jones. Boy, was that like oil and water right there. And I'm surprised he made it a semester. But he ended up going to Clearwater Christian College, which is no longer in existence because they look somewhere other than to the Word of God. That's what happened. But what happened, my son, again, following God's will for his life, a girl, you know, following this girl, he ended up in Lynchburg. Now, he didn't go to Liberty, but his girlfriend as such was. Now, folks, as she was under the sound of the Word of God, she started thinking and responding in a biblical way. And then she started reproving and rebuking my son because of his ungodly choices. And she said to him, if you're really a Christian, you shouldn't be watching those movies. You shouldn't be listening to that kind of music. You shouldn't be involved in those worldly things. You need to read 1 John. And I'm telling you what, this is all he got. He got here where it says, if any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now listen very carefully. Here's what he told me when he got saved. He said, Dad, that verse was talking right to me. You know, I don't really think about Jesus. I don't think about doing his work and his will and doing things his way. All my thoughts revolve around the things and the people of this world and nothing, nothing in my mind about Jesus Christ. And I knew God was speaking right to me. Folks, there are more Christians more proficient in worldliness today than they are Christ's likeness. Could the problem be for you personally the reason that so? You don't read your Bible. You don't go soul winning. You're not a disciple of men. You don't show up for any service other than Sunday morning. You're just a part-time, if you have to, sort of church-going person, but you have no desire and drive for the things of God. You sure you know my Jesus? You sure that you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior? Because listen to the warning again. If any man loved the world, that just means he loves the world more than he loves Jesus or any of the things of Jesus Christ. If any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And it's not in you. And it doesn't seem to be a bothersome thought for you either in your unbiblical relationship with a holy God. But you keep on reading in verse 16, it says, for all that is in the world, and folks, this sums up the choices we make apart from pleasing God. In verse 16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Folks, are you as heartbroken as I am? That we've grown so comfortable and in a mindset of no big deal concerning sin? And folks, how is this happening? The devil's brainwashing us. I mean, folks, how we've been duped by the media. You know, our computers, our cell phones, we're constantly filling our brains with all that stuff. And it's just pushing aside any thought concerning eternity and a right relationship with Him. Now, folks, if you'll remember in my testimony, I didn't get saved till I was 22. That was back in 1975. I'm old, aren't I, children? Yes, I am. Well, what happened in 1975, if you'll remember, there was a real big emphasis on the outward more than the inward. You understand what I mean? You know, it was culottes forever. Does anybody remember culottes? You know, it was kind of the Christian version of the flying nun. You know, remember how, you know, wind gets under there. A girl could go three counties without, you know, without any effort here. You had culottes. And don't you remember, girls, those poofy sleeved shirts that were so popular if you were right with God? And then, guys, shark skin suits. Oh, yeah. You know, that was an era of very ugly clothes. Can I have an amen from the congregation? Aren't you glad we're past that? But, folks, here's the problem. There was an overemphasis on the outward appearance, and it seemed to be the standard or the mark of spirituality. And again, way too often, folks, they forgot about the inward transformation. It always brings a right representation. You think things have changed a little bit today? Standards? Yeah, right. Separation from the world? Oh, how legalistic are you? You know, nothing really in a mind or choice of presentation concerning the holiness of God and a biblical Christ-like representation. Things are a mess today. I'm telling you, I'm out there. You got a good thing going here. You got a faithful proclaimer of the Word of God. But I guarantee in this congregation, some of you still don't have it right. You're having trouble balancing right choices and staying right with God. Because, folks, that's always been the struggle of the people of God. Now, I love techie stuff. I do. I'm a Mac guy. I really lowered my standards. I bought my wife an HP. What was I thinking? It's like speaking a foreign language when I get that thing out. But it was a good price. But I love doing the little emojis and stuff in my notes now. It's just cute. It's very entertaining to me as I'm preaching the Word of God. So what I have here is a red flag by this statement. And folks, you need a red flag by it too. Listen very carefully to this statement. Inward transformation, let's call it change to His image. Kind of borrowed that from this guy named Jim Berg. Have you read the book? Excellent stuff. Inward transformation, change to His image, will lead to a biblical representation that manifests a Christ-like, be ye holy testimony. Let's go there again. Inward transformation, change to His image, will lead to a biblical representation that will manifest a Christ-like, be ye holy testimony. And folks, just a right representation of Christianity. And folks, again, that doesn't seem to be even a thought, let alone the choice of believer state. It doesn't matter what I wear or don't wear. You know, it doesn't matter where I go and what I do once I get it. It still matters to God. And God still hates sin. And folks, judgment is coming. And just like the people of God in Judges and Joshua, how does all this mess come about? One unbiblical choice at a time, where you belittle and mock God's Word, where it doesn't fit into your reasoning because your reasoning now is the final bottom line of life's choices. One unbiblical choice at a time, you start looking to the world instead of Jesus. You start forgetting on how God saved your soul and how God should have killed you by now, but He's demonstrated His love, mercy, and grace to you 24/7. And then, folks, do any of us think that we'll ever get to the point in our relationship with God that we just flat out forsake Him? I don't think any of these children of Israel thought they would ever end up where these folks ended up. But it happened, folks, just like it will with us. One unbiblical choice at a time. So first of all, we need a wake-up call, an awakening. Secondly, we need acknowledgement and acceptance of God's will for our lives. Let me say it again. We need an acknowledgement. We need to be reminded, people, but not just reminded, because I don't think that's the problem with people in churches like this. You know what God wants. The problem is acceptance to let God's will be your will. And do something for millennials that's very unpopular, but also for baby boomers and anybody else, saying death to self and be alive to Jesus. Isn't that where we fight? That's where I fight. That's where I struggle, saying, I don't matter. Not my will, God, but Thy will be done. So, folks, let's go to a passage that really demonstrates very clearly God's will for our lives. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is a, well, let's put it this way, not real popular passage of Scripture with the progressives today, with those who are in compromise mode against be holy and a right representation for God. Now, while you're turning, I love hearing the pages turn. In chapter 5, it talks about us being ministers of God. It talks about ambassadorship down in verse 20. We come down into verse 6. The first verse says we're workers together with Christ. It comes down in verse 4, says we're ministers of God, no matter what's happening around us. And then here's the unpopular passage of Scripture that's still God's will for our lives. Go down with me, if you would, chapter 6, and I'm going to start reading in verse 11. Now, what's going on in Corinth? Ungodly choosing. Man, all kinds of perverted this, that, and the other, even amongst God's people. Look what happens. He says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. There's a burden going on here. Paul's saying, my heart is so full for what needs to be done. What's best and needed for you people who say you want to please our God. Look how he gives instruction here. He says, you're not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now, for a recompense in the same, I speak unto you, my children, be ye also enlarged. Let this swell up in your heart. Be a part of, again, who and what you are to a great extent and amount. He says this, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What's he saying? What are you thinking? You're not matching up in what you're thinking. You're not matching up in the choices you're making if you're right with God. What are you doing messing around somewhere with some people that God says, don't go there, don't do that? Well, I can handle sin, brother. Well, you're the first one on the earth that can, but you're deceived. You're in denial. You really don't think the world is that bad or will bring that kind of black mark on your scorecard for the cause of Jesus Christ. Can I give you a response that God gives in the Word of God? You become a fool because you're listening to the counsel of your own reasoning or the world around you instead of just simply acknowledging and accepting what God says in this book. Keep reading. It doesn't get any less convicting, folks. It goes on to say here in verse 16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, and again, folks, is this real hard to understand? No, but it's sure hard to put into practice. You want to hear what God says, or you just want to keep doing your thing? Well, if you want God's thing, listen to God's instruction. He says, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. See, what's God doing? He says, I love you. I'm only wanting to help you. I'm just trying to bring what's needed and best for your life, which will in turn get you prepared to do what's needed and best for me. I want to treat you as my child that you are, and I want to bless you. I don't want to chasten you. I don't want to spank you as such. I want to bless you because you want to be a blessing unto me. That's what God's after here. But look at the responsibility in chapter 7 and verse 1. Talk about personal opportunity of faithful choosing. It says, having therefore these promises, dear beloved, here's the responsibility. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. That's action as well as wrong thinking or wrong spirit, wrong attitude. And here's the goal, perfecting holiness. Folks, what's holiness? Being set apart for God alone. But always taking the necessary aggressive action to be set apart from this world that hates your God, that wants to bring destruction and darkness to your life. Kids, are you listening to me? I'm trying to help you. The world is not your friend. But if you're a friend with God, you're looking to score points for the wrong team. And sin has consequences. God will deal with us according to those choices. But folks, how dumb are we to go there and do that when we have, through the power of God, the opportunity to do what's right and make a choice that brings glory and honor to Him? Let me read verse chapter 7, verse 1 again. Having therefore these promises, just what was taught, go over it later on here, 5 and 6, and again, buy up the blessed promises and working of God. But folks, you want the promises, you got to get with the program. And program of God's will is not blending and rubbing shoulders, partying and participating in ungodly choosing with ungodly people. Well, how am I going to win them to Jesus? Somewhere other than in the bar. Somewhere other than an ungodly, poor testimony choice of activity. Go to the house. Invite them to McDonald's. Get them a cafe. You know, just don't go someplace of a non-compromising choice with the same burden, but without compromise of your testimony. And again, going against what God very clearly says is His will for our lives. Come out from among them and be different to make a difference for all eternity. That's the simplicity, but against the awesome responsibility that God sets forth. Let us therefore, having these promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of our God. What's God saying? He's saying, get with the program. If you're from South Indianapolis, it means get her done. That's what God wants done here. And there needs to be a sense, again, of get it done sooner than later. Now, before I go to that point, I want to give you one more verse before I forget. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This just is needed as we read that chapter 6. I want you to go with me. And again, I've quoted this, but I want to park on it a little more specifically and a little more on purpose. In chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, just as a reminder, most of you have this memorized. Hopefully this is your understanding that directs who and what you are. It says here in verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? When did that happen? Well, when you got saved. And it goes on to say, which ye have of God. And here's the phrase, kids, do you know this? It says, and ye are not your own. You belong to Him. And it tells you how that happens here. Look at the next verse here, verse 20. For you are bought with the price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. I don't want to do that. I want people to like me. What about God being pleased with you? What about, again, making him, again, in a mindset and understanding that you love him more than you do anybody or anything else? Well, you know, I just really like those things. Join the club. But you have to get past the excuses and reasoning of your flesh and grow up. Get over yourself in this world and understand the world will bring nothing but darkness and destruction to your life, and judgment is coming. And you'll end up in a hole you never thought you'd end up. How? One unbiblical choice at a time. So folks, we need to again be awakened to what God sees and what God knows and what God knows of us to be. We need to acknowledge, we need to accept his will for our lives and come apart, not join hand in hand, arm in arm, heart in heart with the world. No, acknowledge that, accept it, and then do this. Accelerate. Put the pedal to the metal. Folks, we're missing a sense of urgency of getting right, staying right, and doing right today. We need to activate words like now, today. And again, remind ourselves to boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We're allowing the devil to win where he shouldn't be winning. And most of the time, there's little or no fight in the midst of the temptation and the lies of the devil himself. Folks, we will and we are paying for our continual practice of sin. But you know what breaks my heart as much as anything? And this is again from reading through those passages. How the next generation was impacted in a negative way because of their dumb choices. Because they did not remember and then remind how good our God is. That's a rebuke to us adults. Folks, remember how excited you were when you got saved. Man, when your eyes were awakened and opened to the truths of the Word of God, you just wanted to tell everybody about God. And then you grew comfortable, complacent, and really distracted from the glory and goodness of God. And your kids, they didn't know how lit you were for Jesus. They didn't know and understand how excited you were for more preaching and more participation in the Word of God. They don't know that part of you because that part is way gone from your testimony. And you're not rehearsing in the ears of these tender, very impressionable hearts how good and great your God truly is. Now, how many of you here have ever been to Niagara Falls? Kids, have you ever been there? Get your hand up. Now, we know the big dance, the big party when you get there is Horseshoe Falls. Been there a bunch of times, okay? Matter of fact, I'm going up there in November. It's real cool to see those big things kind of ice up. It's a whole different experience in itself. But I'm going up there in November to do a meeting. Now, one time when I was there, I did something. I haven't done it since, but it was very educational. I left where the waters came a-crashing down, and I went upstream on purpose. How cool was that? Man, you get away from these crashing waters and go upstream. It is smooth as smooth can be. Now, it's booking and cooking as far as the movement of the water, but it's so inviting. Man, you just want to grab an inner tube and time with your family and hop on board. But what's the problem? The end thereof is death. You're going to die. Y'all with me? You may have fun for a season, but the end thereof is I am dead. But what happened? You were duped by the non-turbulent water. You again got caught up in reasoning of the moment, and again the kind of thought-through process that's not too deep of what's going to happen as a result of the choices. Does that sound like our Christian life today? Here we look at the world, we really don't see the crash and burn. We don't see the end result as such, especially as a younger person, or what happens when you choose to love the world more than loving God. But I'm telling you, you hop on board, it seems so smooth, it seems so right. Listen to my heart, folks. The end thereof is death. And we will reap what we sow. And folks, again, we need to wake up. There are always consequences to our sin. And folks, we need to be smarter than what the devil's trying to do to us. To kill us. To keep us from unfaithfulness. To keep us from enjoying the blessed, wonderful, peace-filled relationship with Jesus that we have available 24/7, something the world can never, never bring to our lives. People of God, same old story. They start looking to the world. Demas, you can give, there's just a list of people who did that. You know what? You start looking somewhere other than Jesus, you get enamored by it. It doesn't look quite that bad. Matter of fact, it's kind of gratifying to my flesh. So you start following other things to become more important than God Himself. Then you forget when you were 7 years old. You were 12 or you're 30 where Jesus saved your dirty, rotten hide. And the joy of confidently knowing Jesus is your Savior. Then God blessed you. God honored your right choosing, but because you're not looking to Him any longer, you have forgotten how good, how faithful your God is. I'm telling you where you're going to end up. You're going to crash and burn. And you're going to be just another sad story of unfaithful choosing. Because eventually, if you don't stop the bleeding through the power of God, you will forsake God altogether. Now, folks, how does that happen in your life and in mine? Let me say it one more time. One unbiblical choice at a time. Would you bow your heads and hearts, please?